Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the Dreamers Conference here in Helsinki, Finland, at Hotel Korpilani in Espoo near Helsinki, which is a beautiful resort in a quiet forest. And we're rebroadcasting this program from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The website for the conference is www.dreamers.fi, and the conference will be open all day to the public tomorrow on Saturday and Sunday, so if you are in Europe or in Finland, I urge you to come. It's a wonderful conference, and you'll meet some incredibly interesting people. The purpose of the conference is to discuss ways to how to make this planet a better place, and this is the same purpose, which is a purpose of my program too, which is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and much happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this Earth a much better place. Today's shows will be really special because I've got a series of interviews with some incredibly interesting people, including Scott Lemriel, who's been in contact with the Galactic Alliance for the past 55 years, Michiko Hayashi, who's the global director of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, and the former assistant to the wonderful Dr. Masaru Emoto, Emmanuel Eiter, who's a French spiritual film director based in Hollywood, California. He's the producer-director of two award-winning films called Femme and Invocation, and I think at this moment he's actually working on seven more films as well.
At least.
Vernon Masavia, I hope that's correct.
Masayasva.
Thank you. Is a Hopi Indian tribal chairman and elder. He lives in Arizona in the United States, and he will be talking about some wonderful Hopi wisdom and prophecies today that he'll share with my many listeners. Urban Laszlo, we have a pre-recorded interview with Professor Laszlo. Which will be playing today if we have time. It's late here in Helsinki. It's after midnight. And so he went to bed early. I don't blame most people here in Finland are asleep right now, but we're awake tonight with lots of coffee. Professor Laszlo is one of the world's most famous and interesting scientists who's written over 70 books and over 400 articles on the history and philosophy of science. Emma Louise Hansen is a fascinating lady who actually is not from this planet. She's human. She's sitting next to me here, but she's actually from the Andromeda Galaxy. And she has many wonderful messages from her space brothers and sisters. I have also a pre-recorded interview with Nikolai Orzak, I believe that's correct, from the Ural Mountains in Russia. He is Yes. Hello, can you hear me okay? Okay, great. Thank you so much, Eric. We just lost Skype connection. Anyway, one of the people that I have a pre-recorded recording with today is Nikolai Orzak. He's a shaman from Tuva in Siberia. He lives in the Ural Mountains. He's one of Russia's most famous shamans, and he'll be talking about some fascinating subjects. If we have time, we'll be playing his pre-recorded interview today, and if not, we'll be playing in a week from today. As well, I just want to thank everyone for listening to the program. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I'd like to thank the many wonderful sponsors of this show, including my dear friend Carol's designing my website, providing wonderful support. My friends Michiko Hayashi, as well as Hiro Emoto, Mrs. Emoto, and Dr. Yasu Nimoto of the Emoto Peace Project, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer Eric and my station manager Eric Krima, without whose help and support this program would not have been possible. I've started a new spiritual mentoring program. For those who are interested, I can put people in touch with their loved ones and friends who've passed on. If you like, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or I can be reached in the United States at 509-750-9793. I'd like to mention a few upcoming events before we interview our wonderful guest today. The first one is on June 8, 2016. The wonderful Michiko Hayashi, the global director of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, will be giving a presentation water ceremony at the some our beautiful Artesian Springs in downtown Olympia, Washington, in the United States. From 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, she'll be dedicating a permanent memorial to Dr. Masaru Emoto. The event is free and hope you all can come. Then from June 10th to the 12th, 2016, I'll be having my second annual Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington, off of exit 111 on Interstate 5. For those interested, 111 is an angelic number, so I'm very happy we're having it near that exit. We'll be having many wonderful speakers, including Scott Lemriel of the Ceres Agenda, world-famous water scientist Professor Jerry Pollack, who will be giving a keynote speech, Garnet Schulhauser, a famous Canadian psychic who's the author of The Dance of the Heavenly Bliss, Carolyn White, a well-known chakra and aura reader, Teresa Carroll, a well-known Seattle psychic, Alfred Labermont Weber, an international judge and UFO expert, and some other wonderful people, including Michiko Hayashi, and Yoshi, a famous Japanese Hado therapist who will be demonstrating Hado machines during the conference. If you're interested in getting a Hado treatment during the conference by one of Japan's most famous Hado therapists, please send me an email to outofthisworld@gmail.com. There's only room for 10 people, and the space is filling up fast for treatments. So please email me if you'd like to register for a Hado treatment during the conference. Hado machines will also be for sale during the conference. And the conference, the website for the conference is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. The cost for the three-day event is just $197 with discounts for students and low income. And if you'd like to register, please go to the website or send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. We have a new program as well. If you cannot personally attend the conference, let's say you're in Japan or in Australia or in Europe, you can listen to the conference for just $10 a day or $25 for the entire three-day weekend by live video stream during the conference on June 10, 11, and 12. And just send payment. You can send payment by PayPal or send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And if you're interested, then as soon as you send that, we'll send you the password to register to go online to listen to the conference during that time. I'm also looking for a couple of people who would like to help me, volunteer to help me with the conference and like to market the event. If you're interested in doing that, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And with that, I'd like to bring our first guest, which is Vernon, a wonderful man who's a Hopi elder. And Vernon, I just want to thank you so much for coming today. And please, love to have you say a few words to my listeners.
Hello out there, people. It's past midnight here. We're all tired and sleepy, but glad to be here. I was so impressed and pleased to be here with so many people that are all aiming to bring healing back to our mother, the earth, from whom we all nurse. And water is that milk that we nurse to sustain our lives. And I am very encouraged that there are now these people on the ground helping to bring awareness to people all over the world, because we all need to be together to save the world and to heal our mother, the earth, who is sick, crying, but no one seems to be listening.
What is the term for water in among the Hopi, Brennan?
Water is kuyi. Kuyi is water. Mm-hmm. And it is sacred. It is life. Hopis say water is life. Without water, no life. So whatever you do to water, you do to yourself. And so we would like to honor water, treat water as a spirit, a sacred living spirit, and to make sure that water will be available to everybody all over the world, because everyone has a right to life. It is not a commodity that ought to be sold and traded for money. It is a birthright, it is our right, all living things, every living thing, not just humans, earthlings, as I call them, but all living things. And to understand what Hopis have always said, that water is life, that we cannot control water, that water controls all of us. But in the present way of thinking, there is this feeling that because of the superiority of our science, Western science, and technology, we can control water. And that, to me, needs to change, and we need to set a new paradigm and begin to understand that we are all at the mercy of water, we cannot control it, and that we ought to work with water and use it wisely so that we will all be alive and be happy on this earth.
Vernon, thank you so much for staying up so late tonight. It's past midnight here in Finland, and I know Vernon's been busy today at this wonderful conference we're having here, and I just want to thank you so much for sharing your words of wisdom. Vernon will be coming to my Galactic Wisdom Conference next month to give a presentation in Olympia, Washington on June 10, 11, and 12. So if you're interested in his prophecies and those of the Hopi Indians, please attend. I'd love to have you come. Next, I'd like to invite Emmanuel Eiter, my friend, who's a Hollywood French film director. I think, how many films are you currently making right now?
Hello, everybody out there. Yes, we welcome you to the Dreamers Conference. This is a great event, and we're surrounded by so many beautiful souls. Well, to answer your question, Ted, I've done two humanitarian-driven movies. One is called The Invocation with the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu, Deepak Chopra, and many others. And then we did another movie called Femme, Women Healing the World, with Sharon Stone and many women Nobel Peace laureates. And right now from these two documentaries, new ideas emerged, and we're doing three films mainly. One is on shamanism, another one is on economic and politics, and the last one is on medicine, health, nutrition, and the environment. So we are definitely doing our part at trying to heal the planet through movies, making peace one movie at a time.
Wonderful. That's so wonderful, Emmanuel. Well, yeah, I know that you must be a busy man, and we want to wish you so much good luck on every all your wonderful work.
Thank you very much. Yeah, busy. I think we should all get busy, you know. I think that's a problem. I think we spend too much time thinking and talking and not acting and doing enough. So, you know, it's a time of the I think, therefore I am, therefore I do. So let's do it together.
And I also think that this year and next year are pivotal years in humanity's future, that if we don't act and don't do something this year and next, we could have further problems. But I'm confident that people will help turn this situation around, like yourself.
Yeah, and we see it. There are more and more conferences like this one, more and more project left and right, up and down. It's really an awakening that's taking place everywhere on the planet. And I think that the day the 7 billion geniuses that we are, because I don't believe there are any idiots out there, it's only beautiful genius souls that haven't been awakened. But we all have a specific force and a specific talent. And when we will combine these 7 billion energies, we'll be able to solve any problem, whether they are economical, political, medicinal, or anything else. So let's get going, guys and girls. Wake up. Stand up. Heal. Now.
You know, Emmanuel, I love your energy. I mean, if I even tried to do one film, I'd be probably worn out. You're doing seven all at once. So
easy.
He says it's easy. And you came to Finland here from the Cannes Film Festival.
Yep.
And then when this conference finishes on Sunday, then you'll go back there.
I go back to my Hollywood jail, yes.
Yes. Back to your Hollywood jail. Well, I also wanted to tell you that if you are in Finland or in Europe, or if you're somewhere else in the world would like to fly to Finland for the weekend, we're here at the Hotel Korpilani, and the cost is only 60 euros a day for tomorrow and on Sunday. The website is www.dreamers.fi for Finland, and we're only about 20 kilometers from the Helsinki airport. It's in a beautiful resort surrounded by a beautiful forest with some wonderful, beautiful people trying to make some beautiful plans for this beautiful planet, which I know will become a much better planet if we all can work together. Thank you so much, Emmanuel, for staying up. I really appreciate it. I know you've been busy. Next, I'd like to introduce my dear friend Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project. She's been working tirelessly for the last 10 years plus on making this world a better place through her efforts with the Emoto Peace Project and also their children's books. And I know that that you really put your heart into your work, Michiko, and I'd like to welcome you to Out of This World and to the Dreamers Conference here in Finland.
Hi, Ted. Thank you so much. It's been so wonderful to be here in Finland with all these friends who would like, really want to make this whole world a better place, happy place, with all everyone together. And these 2 days, it's been just an amazing days because people from around the world have gotten here together with from shamans and spiritualists and ET contactees and even professional scientists are here together in discussing how we can work together to make the whole world a happy and a peaceful place. And it's been, I can tell that all this diversity is going, everyone is different, but everyone is working for the same direction.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Eric. We've had a little trouble with Skype, but I'm so grateful for Eric's help. You know, Eric, I couldn't do this program without your help, and I just want to thank you so much for your wonderful help. Anyway, Michiko, I was going to ask you a question. Earlier today, we all heard a wonderful Russian shaman named Nikolai Orzakh give a presentation, and I've got a small little segment of his interview that, if there's time, I'll play it today, and if not, I'll play it next Friday. One of the things that Nikolai discussed was that he said that we were on the way to becoming light beings in the future. And if that's true, then we would not have necessarily a physical body. Now, I know that one of the things that you work on is teaching children between the ages of 3 and 12 love and gratitude, so that hopefully when they get older, they won't want to go off to wars that last in the Middle East for 50, 60 years, 100,000 years, whatever, and that people learn to get along better in a much better better way. Could you tell my many listeners around the world a little bit about your love and gratitude efforts?
Okay. Many of the listeners may have already listened to this before, but for the people who have not listened to this before, I'm really happy to talk about this. It's I'm succeeding Dr. Emoto's work, that he has shown that words in our consciousness, in our thoughts and prayers, or even any kind of information that we receive or we're emitting through water, the water shows the truth. Or if the information is positive, it makes beautiful water crystals. And if the information that we're emitting is negative, then it cannot make any water. And through water crystal, at the level of the molecule level, water shows that our thought, our consciousness is beautiful. Then because we're 70% water, and this earth is also 70% water, so we are water. And when we know that, then we can tell that as water crystal shows, if we are in the state of love and gratitude, then the whole world will be resonating and make the harmonious, beautiful world, where we do not, no one wants to, or no one will even try to argue with each other or fight with each other. Instead, we will want to live in harmony naturally, as we learn that the most beautiful water crystal that water made was love and gratitude.
Do you think a harmonious world is in store for humanity on this planet, Michiko?
Stored?
In store. It's that in our future.
Of course. Yes. Right now, there are places and people who are fighting or arguing and not being very happy, but I can see that we're getting into the paradigm where the world is becoming happier with the work of Emmanuel and your work and everybody's work, you know, working together in a different field. But as more and more people are awakening and learning that we want the beauty of the life living in harmony, so it's changing to be the beautiful harmonious world.
I have to ask you a question. I'd like to transfer this over to Vernon just briefly, and then give it back to you. Give the floor back to you, Michiko. But Vernon, if I'm not mistaken, where the Hopi live is at a very dry area, isn't it?
Yes, we live in northern Arizona in a high desert plateau. We are the first settlers. Our ancestors were the first settlers in that area, and we've been living in that area for over 1,000 years. Oraibi, one of our villages, is dated to 1,000 years, and there's still about 800 people living there, carrying on the Hopi traditions. And we are farmers. We raise three types of crops, corn, six varieties of corn, squash and beans. We call them the three sisters. And we do this without irrigating a field because there is no lakes or river in our land. It's dry, high desert. But we have been farming for over 1,000 years. We're still doing it. And we rely completely on the gifts from our ancestors, the cloud people. We do it through prayer and intent. When our fields are thirsty, crops are thirsty, the elders come together, put their minds and hearts together, and pray for rain. And the intent is to provide water for the corn maidens, we call them. And the power of their prayers, when they come together, when they put their minds and hearts together, that creates a lot of energy, which then goes out to the cloud people. And the cloud people hear it. And in gladness, they come down, bringing water to the thirsty plants and animals. Plants to replenish the rivers, the aquifers. This is how we are able and still are surviving as farmers in a desert land without any can come together and understand what energy is. That energy is water. If we can become conscious of that, that water is sacred, then the combined energy would be so big, so powerful, that we will survive. Yeah, we will bring beauty, holiness back to Mother Earth. We can heal our mother from whom we all nurse. And we've been doing this for untold number of years, and it works. So this is the message to the world. We all need to come together, put our minds and hearts together, create enough energy that we will fulfill our intent, which is to heal our mother, the earth.
Vernon, you said so many profound things. I'd like to add a few things to that quickly. I take it you say you raise six varieties of corn. I take none of them. I assume that none of them are genetically modified corn from Monsanto, are they?
No, we have a tradition in our culture that we are to plant corn in the way always that we were taught to do it. And so the only technology we use is a planting stick. The planting stick, that's the technology. And each family plant only its corn. So they're like heirloom seeds. Mm-hmm. And so when you say white corn, for example, there must be many varieties of white corn, blue corn, red corn, yellow corn, sweet corn. And because of that, our corn provides a guaranteed supply of food to the children all over the world, because unlike the way it's being done commercially, they don't have a variety of corn, just one, maybe one type. So if some disease were to come and hit one plant, others will just fall like a domino. But in our situation, that would never happen. And we don't use any kind of fertilizers or... we do it organically, naturally. And so that's... something very important to remember, and the Hopis are keepers of the seeds, and we do it in behalf of people all over the world.
I have to tell you that I think that U.S. agriculture could certainly learn from your beautiful culture, from the Hopis, and the way that they propagate organic seeds. And there's a couple of things I'd like to point out to my many listeners around the world. First, they use organic seeds. Second, they're not genetically modified corn. Third, for those in the United States who don't realize this, genetically modified corn is banned in Europe because it's carcinogenic and causes a lot of really bad health effects. And those, unfortunately, Europeans will not buy U.S. corn. It's banned in Europe. Fourth, if the Hopi had followed commercial U.S. agricultural practices today, their reservation would cease to exist because they couldn't grow any corn, because they rely upon praying to the clouds, who they call the cloud people, being respectful to the planet, to nature, and they've been well taken care of by the planet, by Mother Earth, for well over 1,000 years. And they take care of the land, and they plant organic corn, which is sustainable without any health problems caused by genetically modified corn, which is used widespread. 96% of the corn in the United States is genetically modified, and really bad for your health. For those of you interested, when you do go to Europe, and let's say you go to Denmark or Finland here, and you pick up a can of Coke, well, look at the ingredients on a can of Coke in Finland and compare it to that in the United States. In Finland, for the sugar content, they always use pure cane sugar, which is not genetically modified. But in the United States, they use high fructose corn syrup, which is not genetically modified and carcinogenic, and it's bad for your health. But I guess the bottom line is that the Hopi are wonderful. They have a wonderful way of doing corn and sustainability that's lasted well over 1,000 years. And if they used agricultural practices in the United States, they probably wouldn't last more than a year, if that.
We do have a problem that we don't want to deal with. And that is that there are commercial crop growers pirating our seeds because it is drought resistant and healthy, and mixing it with their corn. And there is no way for us to stop that. And one advice to us is, why don't you patent it? And that way you can legally protect it. And our answer to that is, how can we patent our mother? Corn is mother. White corn, cornmeal is used for prayers, all kinds of ways. It's our mother. We call it mother. Corn is mother to Hopi way of life, civilization. Because long time ago, we were out there gathering whatever we can eat to sustain ourselves. And then once we were assured of a guaranteed supply of coal, we didn't have to be out there gathering herbs to eat or things like that. We stored the corn, and then that gave us time to do other things, doing textiles. In other words, we developed a civilization. And the mother of that civilization is corn. Hmm. That's why we call it corn. We are all children of maize.
What a beautiful passage you just gave us. Mitchka, I wanted to ask you quickly, do you think the Hopi are a civilization that's based upon love and gratitude with their agricultural practices?
I definitely think so. I mean, if they're not really based on love and gratitude, no one else will be living in love and gratitude. They're such beautiful people. They're always taking care of Mother Earth. They're valuing water so much, and they're living in harmony with nature and their own people, and thinking about the whole, not just their region, but the whole earth. And I just value them so much. I just respect them so much. And I know that Dr. Emoto and Vernon used to be like brothers because they shared the same thoughts and the same values. So I really, for me, Vernon is such an important person. I respect him very much.
Well, I contend that I think the United States in particular would do well, the agriculture in the United States would do well to emulate and follow the example of the beautiful people of the Hopi in taking care of their land, taking care of Mother Nature. They don't even use irrigation in propagating their agricultural fields. Instead, they pray to the clouds, and the earth has taken care of them for over 1,000 years. If they were to employ, however, U.S. agricultural practices with genetically modified corn that's very bad for your health, they probably wouldn't live more than a few years, if that. But we have to get back to a sustainable society and one that respects the people of this planet. And with that, I'd like to
Can I make one more?
Yes, here, Vernon wants to make another.
I just want to make sure that the listeners understand that the world I describe, Hopi world, has changed dramatically. Because we are a tiny group of people, no more than 10,000, trying to survive in one of the most advanced technological societies. So our children are part of it now. They carry all these cell phones around, you know. They are distracted. They don't want to listen to us anymore. They're forgetting their language. They're getting lazy because they can get corn in the grocery store. No, they live in a world of ease. And so as a result, we have children that are having the same kind of problems, children all over the world. We've got drug problems. Every problem out there, it's with our children, with us. And that is probably the biggest challenge to the Hopi people. You know, how can we survive, tiny group of people, in a society that's so technologically advanced, that worships technology? that are now going away from a spiritual path because to them there's no money, there's no employment. You know, so they join the material path so they can enjoy the benefits. They can work, make money, you know, entertain themselves, so forth and so on. So we, that to me is one of our biggest challenges right now. How do we reach the children?
Thank you so much, Vernon, for sharing that. Hello. Yeah, hi. Go ahead, Michiko. We're back on air again.
Okay. What if the
okay, we're on the air again.
For example, it shows the mother's cooking, water shows the mother's cooking is beautiful, whereas instant food is not, it's... Oh, yeah. Can also learn what is good, what is not good. So this book teaches the value of
hello, friends. I'm sorry we dropped off again on Skype, but we're continuing to proceed. I just wanted to thank Michiko Hayashi, the global director of the Emoto Peace Project from Tokyo, Japan, for sharing her beautiful thoughts about the children's books. Now I'd like to interview my dear friend, Emma Louise Hansen, who's actually from Trondheim, Norway, beautiful town in Norway, who's here at the Dermis Conference here in Helsinki, Finland. And Emma, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much, Ted. Hello. First of all, I want to say something to you, Ted. You're like a brother for me, and I love you very, very much.
Well,
and I would
thank you.
And I would like the listeners tonight to send, you know, before you go to bed, or I know that you probably are awake now and during daytime, but just send Ted a little bit love, okay? Because he's doing a huge work for us, for this world. And he really needs the energy right now. So please send some love and light for Ted today. Thank you. Well, I'm going to put a little, seed in the ground today too, but it's not going to be corn out of it. I'm going to talk about karma. And of course, again, I say that this is my opinion and my experience, and I don't ask anyone to take it for truth. You have to seek within to find your own truth. But in my opinion, karma is based upon fear, and I think it's time we get out of that loop. And this is also something that we can teach our children, because we are taking our children into some old patterns today, and they are growing up to be like... they're growing up to be copies of us and doing the same mistake that we are doing. And, you know, we are thinking that we are kind of doing whatever we like in this life and in the next life, that we are going to pay for it. It's like we are comparing our life with a credit card, but it's not like that at all. Karma is actually just fake. And yes, I said it. I think that everyone needs to understand that religion, all patterns in this world has tried to keep us under, and we have all been creating this together. We are all part of this, and we are all responsible for this. I have to remind you of something, that we have to think about forgiveness today. We have to start to forgive, no matter how hard it is, how big of an issue someone have done to you. I don't know if someone had done really bad things to you, if it's a person that had done these bad things, or if it's a situation in the world or a situation in your life. You actually need to forgive. And it's not like you have to say, I forgive you, and then gone with that. You have to feel it inside yourself. You have to feel it deep, deep inside yourself. And when you have really forgiven someone or a situation, you will start to feel gratefulness. And the gratefulness, it will go over to unconditional love. Because when you are really grateful for something, you are also sending unconditional love. And when you are in unconditional love, you are suddenly finding yourself in oneness. And you're realizing that we are all one together. And in this oneness, we are all also individuals, and we have responsibility for ourselves and what we are doing. And we will also understand that everything we are doing to each other, we are also doing to ourselves. And in this oneness, we are in line with our own soul. And that is where the real power is coming. And this is where we are heading right now. Then we are talking about a fifth dimensional thinking, a fifth dimensional being, a fifth dimensional creating. And this is not something, it's not like you're going from one room to another room. You're not going from the third room to the fifth room. This is something in your mind. It is not something outside of yourself. It's a realization inside of you. It's something that you are responsible to create.
Now, there's a few things that my listeners may not realize about Emma Louise, but you're in a human body, but you're not from this planet, are you, Emma?
Well, I could say this, that earlier today, someone asked the questions, is there really ETs out there, extraterrestrials? And I kind of laughed inside of myself because I know that I am an extraterrestrial. And I was using this room that we are sitting in now as an example. This room is the universe, and every chair in this room are a planet, and on every chair there is sitting a person. And every person is thinking, are there really ETs out there? I mean, I don't need to answer that. It's like questioning our own creation. It's questioning our own existence. And yes, I am an ET, and Ted are an ET, and everyone are. So it's like being bread in a bakery and wondering, is there any other breads out there? I think it's a funny question. And I'm in a funny humor today, so.
Well, you're from the Andromeda Galaxy, is that correct, Emma?
That's correct. I had many lives there, and I've been on many different planets there. Mm-hmm. And on Sunday, I'm going to talk a little bit about one life there that I'm also going back to now. I have this wise soul there called Oriel, and I'm visiting him through my soul. Mm-hmm. To my soul string, and I'm getting a lot of information and wisdom from him, and we are sharing wisdom. I'm also giving him wisdom, and of course, and I'm going to talk about that on Sunday, and then I'm also going to talk about this new earth that is coming, that is already created, and that is where we all are all heading. And I know that this shaman today was talking about us being light beings. And from the beginning, the first universe, as I was talking about earlier today, the multiverse, we were all light beings. And yes, we are going to be light beings again. And every time that we die, we have the opportunity to become a light being. But sadly, very many, they just keep going into this loop that we are kind of, we have fooled ourselves into this loop because we are listening to religion, we are listening to old patterns that we are just used to being and living, and we are kind of going this incarnation loop over and over and over again. But there's nothing to be afraid of. Outside of this body, we are all light beings, and yes, this earth is actually being going to be destroyed completely, but there's a new one waiting for us. And when we are getting up in our oneness state of mind, we are all entering this new reality.
Well, that's really amazing, Emma. I have to tell you that from what I know of the Andromedans, Andromedan people actually, they live an average of 3,000 years. They look just like us, except they've got their skins blue, can be light blue or dark blue. And from what I know, that many Andromedans came to this planet Earth many millennia ago, and they settled in Africa, where the sunlight came from. Hello, good. Thank you so much, Eric, for getting us back on. What we all came. We all came from somewhere else, and I just want to thank – it's just amazing. Thank you so much for coming on today, Emma.
I just want to say one thing. You are saying that the Andromedians look like us. And
we're mixed. This planet is a mix of all different kinds of people. Briefly, I wanted to mention, I didn't mention this before, but there are some more upcoming events, which I'll mention next hour. Again, if you are in the Finland area and would like to come to the conference, we'll have a recorded message from Nikolai Orzakh, who is a famous Russian shaman in Russia. He has about 1,000 students, and he said on during the interview that I had with him earlier today that we're all becoming light beings, and that in the future we will not need our physical body anymore. I also, if time, will be playing an interview with Professor Irvin Laszlo, who's one of the world's most famous philosophers of science. He's an author of over 70 books. He's got 3 or 4 books currently underway now, and also has written over 400 articles on the history and philosophy of science. A very interesting man. I've been very privileged and pleased to meet him today. The other thing I wanted to tell you is that you'll have an opportunity to meet some wonderful and interesting people at my Galactic Wisdom Conference. Will be held next month on June 10, 11, 12 in Olympia, Washington, off of exit 111. If you're interested or would like to register, please go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. The cost is $197 for the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, with Friday free. And if for example, you're in England, Australia, Russia, parts of across the country in Canada or on the eastern seaboard of the United States or in Japan or elsewhere in the world, including South America, Central America, of course, and would like to attend the conference and you can't afford the plane ticket to the United States, you're always welcome to listen online. The cost is only $10 a day or $25 for the entire weekend. And I just want to thank everyone so much for listening. We will be having another interview in a few minutes with Scott Limriel, Nikolai Orzakh, Russia's most famous shaman on the future of humanity, followed by an interview with Professor Irvin Laszlo, one of the world's most famous philosophers of science. And that'll be in a few minutes after the beginning of the 3 o'clock hour. And with that, I just want to thank everyone so much for listening today. And please stay tuned for our next hour, which will start in just a few minutes.